We've been on a study lately called Maturing into Adulthood, Maturing into Spiritual Adulthood. And the last time I was here, we talked on one of the ways to mature spiritually in our walk with God, and it was called communication. Communication with God, prayer, is a way to mature spiritually in our walk with God. And, you know, the way you grow in a relationship with a friend, a good friend, or a spouse is by communicating with that person. You share your thoughts, your feelings, your heart with that person, and then in return, that person shares their thoughts, their feelings, and their heart with you, and you get to know each other better, and that relationship grows. And it's the same way with God. It's the same way with God. If you really want to grow in your relationship with Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, you've got to be communicating with Him. You've got to be talking with Him. You've got to pray to Him. And as you pray to God, you share your concerns with God, He will reveal His heart, His thoughts, His feelings, His mindset toward you, and you get to know Him that much better. Is that making sense now? And Jesus taught us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Today I want to talk about yet another way to grow spiritually in our walk with God. Another way to grow spiritually, maturing into adulthood, is the next discipline we're going to talk about today is forgiveness. You know, when a child gets offended, think about this. When a child gets offended, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, a five-year-old, what does it do? In the natural, when a child gets offended, what does it do? It throws a fit, it stomps its feet, it holds a grudge, and it thinks about how to get even with the offender. But it's not the same, really, with adults, with a responsible, mature adult. An adult who has sense knows how to release the offender. Is that making sense? A mature adult knows how to release the offender, because a mature adult, an intelligent adult, knows that if he tries to get even and retaliate, worse things can happen. And you know, as we go through our daily walk with Christ, people are going to do and say things that are not going to quite sit right with us, with you. Let me say it again. As you walk with God, as you go about your daily activities, people will say and do things that don't quite sit right with you. You know, somebody may joke about your mom. Maybe somebody jokes about your weight. Maybe somebody doesn't return a phone call or an email. Maybe somebody is judgmental against you. Maybe somebody has verbally abused you. Or maybe somebody has tarnished your reputation. And if you take these seeds of offense and you plant them in the soil of your heart and you nurture those seeds of offense and you think about the offense and I can't believe he said that, I can't believe she did that, so forth and so on, and you nurture that seed of offense and think about it over and over and over again, because the mind is the battlefield, guess what? That seed of offense could become a root of bitterness on the inside of you. And bitterness and hate can yield ugly results. Now, Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses, verse 3, was a very humble man, more humble than anyone on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out of the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams, but this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them and he left them. When the cloud lifted from the tent, there stood Miriam leprous like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy. And then Moses cries out to God to heal Miriam. But Aaron and Miriam took offense against Moses because of what? Because of his Cushite wife. And as a result of that, Miriam ended up contracting leprosy. So when we hold bitterness and offense on the inside concerning something in our lives, something offensive, insulting somebody has said or done towards us, guess what? It can yield some pretty nasty results. So today, the way to get rid of that, the way to avoid the ugly results of bitterness is to do what? Is to forgive your offender. You know, if you're really maturing in your walk with God, then you need to uproot any root of bitterness with a tool called what? If you're really maturing in your walk with God, if you're going from childhood into adulthood in your walk with God, you've got to be practicing this discipline called forgiveness. You need to uproot any root of bitterness with a tool called forgiveness. And forgiveness, when I say the word forgiveness, how do you define it in your mind? How do you define forgiveness? It's not that tough. It's pretty simple. Exactly. Releasing your offender of an offense they committed against you. Releasing your offender of the debt that they owe you. You know, some people feel like, you know what? All right, this person borrowed money from me, be it $50 or $100. They said they were going to pay me back in a week. It's been a year. They haven't paid me back. Man, the least they owe me is an apology. And guess what? Forgiveness also includes releasing your offender of the apology you feel that they owe you. You know, forgiveness is a complete erasing of the debts of somebody that somebody has against you. I want to read you this from the speaker's quote book. It's simple, but it makes the point. And it says this: W.W. Smithson of Ohio found a prayer that his daughter wrote after her dog had been shot and killed. "Dear Lord," it read, "please help me not to get bitter against the people who did this. I need to try and love them, and this surely will be hard. Thank you, Lord. Amen. P.S. I guess we have to face some things in life that we don't want to face. And the little children shall lead them," right? Okay. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, the parable of the unmerciful servant. We've heard this before, but it bears repeating. And Jesus is illustrating through this the heart. He's demonstrating, he's showing us the heart of Father God. And then it says in Matthew 18, verse 21, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Another version says 70 times 7. Now, we know that Jesus was not into specific numbers, that we're to forgive our offender 490 times in a day, right? What was Jesus trying to say to Peter? He was just trying to say, Peter, you don't forgive your brother just a certain amount of times. You've got to practice a lifestyle of forgiveness against the brother who has offended you. You have got to walk in forgiveness on a daily basis, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then he gives the parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him." So this king was owed millions of dollars by a certain man. "Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt." That's a pretty big debt, right? Being owed millions of dollars. Would you agree? This master was owed millions of dollars. "So the servant fell on his knee before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when this servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, a day's worth of wages, maybe 2 days, a few dollars. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. The master came to the servant. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." This king, this master, was owed millions of dollars. This servant begged his forgiveness. So he forgave him the debt of millions of dollars. Then this servant who was forgiven a debt of millions of dollars had a nerve to find somebody who owed him a few dollars and had him thrown into prison until he could pay it back. And when the original king, the original master who had forgiven this great debt found out about it, he was upset. He said, you should have demonstrated the same mercy and forgiveness on your debtor as I demonstrated toward you. And because you didn't, I'm turning you over to the torturers, to the jailers to be tortured until you could pay back all that you owe. Now, in this parable, we need to remember the forgiveness God has lavished on us is represented by the master who was owed millions of dollars and forgave the servants. This master, this king who was owed millions of dollars, represents whom? It represents whom? It represents God. And this other servant who found a fellow servant who owed him just a few dollars should have remembered, man, you know what? My master forgave me a debt worth millions of dollars. And if he had any sense, he should have thought, you know what? He forgave me a debt of millions of dollars. I'm going to go to my fellow servant who owes me a few dollars and forgive his debt as well. But he didn't. He didn't remember the great mercy and forgiveness that was lavished on him. And because he didn't remember, and he was vindictive, and he wanted his few dollars back, he had this poor man thrown into prison for a few dollars worth of a debt. Isn't that a shame? If he had any sense, he should have remembered the great debt that was forgiven him. And friends, it's got to be the same for us. You know, when somebody offends you, when somebody insults you, when somebody hurts you, they say something to you, they tarnish your reputation, they do something that doesn't sit right with you, remember the sins God has forgiven you and me. Let's have some spiritual sense, right? To remember what God has done for us. Who's the standard setter in forgiveness? It's God, right? God the Father. He's the standard setter. Now, if you go about being insulted by everything that everybody says and does against you, guess what? And you're like, man, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm going to hold it against them. I'm going to get even. Who's setting the standard in that scenario, in that situation, with that kind of mindset? It's like you, as a finite human being, are setting the standard. In a subtle roundabout way, you're putting yourself above God, and that is prideful. The Word of God says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So if we decide not to forgive our offenders, it's like in a roundabout way, we're setting the standard and putting ourselves above God, and that is sin. But there's only one standard setter. And who's that? That's Father God. Let's submit to His standard. Now, Paul the Apostle writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he writes this. It's good to, we've heard it before, but it bears repeating. It's good to hear. 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let us not forget the forgiveness God has lavished upon us. Let's have some spiritual sense. And you know what? In this parable that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 18, this servant who was originally forgiven millions of dollars and didn't demonstrate the same forgiveness toward a fellow servant was thrown into what? He was turned over to the jailers to be tortured. He was turned over to the tormentors. Why? Why was he turned over to the tormentors? This man who had originally been forgiven a debt of millions of dollars. He was turned over to the tormentors because he did not know how to practice forgiveness. Because he was walking in bitterness and revenge. And I'm here to tell you today, friends, guess what? Guess what? That when you decide to walk in bitterness and not forgive, the same happens to us. The same happens to you. That you end up tormenting yourself. You end up creating for yourself a prison of torment when you can't forgive, when you walk in bitterness. You end up creating for yourself a mental prison of torment. Thinking about that offense over and over and over again to the point where you can't even sleep at night. When you can't forgive and you walk in bitterness, you end up creating for yourself an emotional prison of torment. Depressed in your emotions. Man, I can't believe she did that to me. Be it 5 years ago or 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I can't believe she did that. I can't believe he said that. And believe it or not, there's people out there that go back 30 years and replay that offense like it happened a day ago. I can't believe she did that. I can't believe she did that. And they talk about it with everybody. And they create for themselves a prison of emotional torment. They get depressed on the inside. I don't want to create any kind of prison in my life. How about you? So to avoid that, to avoid creating a prison in our lives, we've got to do what? We've got to practice a lifestyle of forgiveness. Forgiveness. You know, if you walk in forgiveness, you're walking closer to the heart of God, and hence you're growing in your walk with Him. God is all about mercy and forgiveness. And so when you walk in mercy and forgiveness towards somebody who has insulted you, you are walking closer, you are coming closer to the heart of God. And as you draw closer to the heart of God by forgiving others, you're growing in that relationship with God. Offenses are sure to come, but forgiveness is an option. Let me say it again. Offenses are sure to come, but forgiveness is an option. As you get up in the morning and you go about your daily activities, you're going to meet at least one person that day. And within a week's worth of time, there's going to be at least someone that does something that will insult you, that will offend you. The question is, will you choose by your own volition to forgive and to release that person of the debts? And I understand, friend, that forgiveness sometimes is hard because some of us have had some really serious offenses done toward us. And I understand that. Major verbal abuse, emotional abuse, whatever it might be. And when it gets hard to forgive, and it gets hard to forgive a lot of times, just say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I am too weak in myself. And I guarantee that God will give you the strength to release that offender. When you cry out to God in prayer, I guarantee you that God will respond to your plea. Amen? Remember this, you can't base your forgiveness on the offender's response. You know, maybe somebody joked concerning something in your life. It was maybe just a joke, but you took it offensively. And you try to bring it to them and like, man, you know what you said, you know, when you joked with me that one day about a week ago, it really offended me on the inside. And that person might be like, what? I didn't mean that offensively. I was just joking with you. And then that might get you even more upset. But you know what? You can't base your forgiveness on that person's response. You know, if they don't see how they offended you, forgive them anyway. Just let it go in Jesus' name. All right. And remember this, this is really important. Forgiveness is an eternal life or death situation. Remember back in the parable of Matthew chapter 18, it says this. Jesus says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. Remember the master, the king who was owed millions of dollars? Forgave the debtor, right? He forgave the person who owed him millions of dollars. And then when this person went to somebody who owed him a few dollars, he couldn't forgive him. And this original master, this king, kind of withdrew the forgiveness he originally demonstrated towards the person who owed him millions of dollars. Because the person who owed him millions of dollars couldn't demonstrate forgiveness toward another fellow servant. So the point here today is this, is that, you know what, friend? It's tough, but it's the Bible. If we're not walking in forgiveness toward others, it's in the Bible. This is not me. If we're not walking in forgiveness towards others, God is not walking in forgiveness towards us. And what's our eternal salvation based upon? God's forgiveness of our sins by faith in Christ Jesus. If we're walking around bitter, hateful, wanting to get even, cussing everybody that's hurt us, walking around just angry all the time, guess what? We're walking on dangerous ground eternally. walking on dangerous ground eternally. So whenever somebody insults you, whenever somebody offends you, and you want to get even, you want to hold it in your heart, you want to plant that seed of offense in the soil of your heart, remember, man, God forgave me of such greater debts. You know what? I got to let this go in Jesus' name because my eternal salvation could be at stake. God, give me the strength to forgive this person. And God will give you His supernatural, divine power to release the debt. Now, I just want to make one last note. There are offenses that are serious, and maybe there's somebody out there who has verbally abused you. And every time you're in contact with this person, they cuss at you, they put you down, they belittle you. And so you forgive that person. So 2 weeks later, you come in contact with this person again, and they do the same thing. They belittle you, they cuss you, they put you down. And you forgive them again. 2 weeks later, they come across your path again and do the same thing. You forgive them, they say I'm sorry, you forgive them. And they keep doing the same thing over and over and over against you. At that point, you release yourself from what? From personal retaliation. But you can't release the repeat offender from moral accountability. You need to hold them morally accountable for their repeat offenses. How do you hold them morally accountable? You release yourself, right? From personal revenge. But you can't release the repeat offender from moral accountability. How do you hold the repeat offender morally accountable? It's simple. You just separate yourself from them. Separate yourself from them. If it's here at the shelter, report it to one of the staff members. If it's outside the shelter, report it to law enforcement. Don't try to get even with the person. Don't try to get even with the person. Don't cuss back at them. Don't fight them physically back. But you got to separate yourself from them and report it to the authorities. That's holding them morally accountable. Is that making sense?